This is Alex Pardo, and you're listening to the Flip Empire Show, episode 316.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on? What's going on, guys? I have an awesome, awesome masterclass for you today, packed with nuggets from my friend Todd Toback out of San Diego. Guys, Todd Toback is the real deal. Somebody who got started in this business roughly, I want to say, 10 to 15 years ago and, you know, built a very successful wholesaling operation out of one of the toughest markets in the country, San Diego. Had a huge, huge team. And what we've actually decided to do is because, you know, there was just so much content that was being shared is we broke this up into a two-part series where we're covering two different topics. The first one is we're talking about hiring and building a team. We're talking about how to eliminate the fear, getting out of your way, and bringing that first hire on board. We really dive into the nuts and bolts of what it, because that's Todd's expertise. You know, I think he's got a really unique perspective because not only does he have a successful business, but he also works with a lot of successful wholesalers across the country. And so he gets to see the behind the scenes of what's really working, what's not working, what is holding people back from hiring, building a team, growing, scaling. And so we share a lot of content and we really kind of deep dive some personal experiences when he started hiring going back, you know, 2010, 11, 12, and how he was able to build such a big business that was doing upwards of 10, 15 deals a month in one of the hottest markets in the country. So, you know, very, very successful investor, entrepreneur. We talk about, you know, most people are just hustling. They're real estate hustlers, but they're not true business owners. So I think this episode is going to really open your eyes to, if you're struggling from transaction to transaction, if you've hired some people, but it just hasn't worked out the way you expected it to, if you're a one man or a one woman show and you're afraid to hire, make sure to listen to this episode a couple of times. And he shares a couple of things that if you were just to implement that, you're going to be well on your way. So guys, without further ado, let's hop into it with Todd Toback. Todd, what's going on, my friend? I'm excited to finally get you on the show, brother.
Alex, thanks for having me. Super pumped to be here.
Yeah, man, dude. So you're one of those people that I've known for a while, although we haven't had much interaction. We have so many mutual friends in the industry. I've always admired and respected you. You always come with energy, whether it's on a podcast, video, from the stage. And so I feel like, you know, I'm a pretty high energy guy, but I always strive to match the energy of the person on the other end that I'm interviewing. So I'm excited to have you on, man, not just because of all the experience and knowledge that you bring to the table, but you are currently, not only do you have an active business in San Diego, but you currently work with wholesalers and investors this very moment, right? So you kind of see the inner workings of businesses, what's working, what's not working, correct?
Yeah, I see the good, the bad, the ugly, the awesome. One of my superpowers, Alex, is actually I'm a master at getting to the truth. And so I believe that in any situation, if you're trying to get better, you've got to be completely real, raw, honest. I call getting naked in front of the mirror, right? Yeah. So, you know, I've seen it all. And so I think that's one of my superpowers. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today on how we can help your audience.
Yep, absolutely, man. So look, typically we kind of start with the usual, you know, tell me a little bit about your backstory, how you got to this point. I feel like I covered a lot of that in the intro. So I want to kind of just dive right into the heart of today's episode and the content. There's a huge difference, you and I both know, between being a true business owner and then just being in real estate and doing deals and hustling from transaction to transaction, from deal to deal. I would put the majority of people that I've connected with in the latter, right? They're hustling. They're always going from the one deal to the next. And they struggle, man. There's an inconsistency with their paycheck, with the revenue they generate. I feel like they're always riding that income roller coaster. So let's dive in right from the top and we can kind of steer the conversation depending on where it goes. But with all the people you've worked with, can you talk a little bit about what separates those that you have seen have a true business versus the ones that are just kind of hustling? They're in go mode and they're trying to get that next deal, that next deal.
Well, it comes down to two things. Number one, it comes down to mastering the fundamentals, right? So mastering the fundamentals is going to be your marketing on a consistent basis, right? And I'm probably sure you've talked about that on your podcast, right? But it's so easy, right, to do. And it's also easy not to do, right? So everyone's like, oh, you know, Alex, please don't talk about consistency in my marketing again. Well, I'll stop talking about it when you start getting consistent in your marketing.
That's right.
And so, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, not just that. Sometimes we know something and we still fit. Like, dude, I've been inconsistent with my marketing at times. It doesn't happen often, but sometimes I catch myself like, I know better. So even though you know it, you know, sometimes you have to hear it from a certain person at the right time. You're 100% right, man. You cannot turn off that marketing faucet.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit and put this in perspective. Yeah. So right now, like, lack of marketing is a symptom sometimes of a deeper root issue, which I'm going to get to. So you're not going to go up to anybody in a real estate seminar or workshop and say, hey, were you intentionally inconsistent in your marketing, right? I think we work, this audience right here is very, very intelligent, and they all know probably, hey, I've got to be consistent in my marketing. So it wasn't a choice. So right. Somewhere along the line, there was a behavior, a habit, a lack of something that caused an event that caused a lack of consistency in marketing, right? So marketing is the first thing. The second is going to be acquisition, right? So there's fundamentals in the acquisition portion. And so if someone says, hey, I've got a mailing campaign that didn't work, right? Yeah. And direct mail doesn't work anymore. By the way, it does, right? Mm-hmm. Not like it used to, but it does, right? There are 1 million variables that could have happened between the time that you mailed that postcard, bingo, right, until the time that you said it didn't work, right? If you want me to get into that, I can, right? I just like, load them off, right? It could have been the timing of the postcard, right? Did you send it out, 2 days before Christmas, right? How long did it take to get back? Did you mess with a list? Did you follow up properly? Was your headspace in a weird spot? Were you putting off some kind of weird energy? Were you completely overwhelmed, right? And you were just looking for a seller who's ready to fall off a cliff and pretty much not sitting there building rapport with a seller like you needed to, right? All of these variables that if things aren't clicking on all cylinders, can send a mailing campaign down the toilet, right? So you're in Miami, I'm in San Diego, right? There are other markets that are much more forgiving, right? If you're somewhere in Alabama and you mail, you're pretty much going to make money, right? Yeah. I mean, you know,
night and day.
Right? Yeah. San Diego, it's like you can make money, but you got to watch the leads. You got to be all over. I'm sure the same is in Miami.
100%. Right?
And so there's these variables that if you don't pay attention, if you don't take your business as serious business, right, your mailing campaign that could have been extremely profitable is now in the toilet. Now, then again, let me go back to this. There's a reason that's the symptom. It's not the root cause, right? Then there's disposition, right? So a lot of people will struggle. The disposition is, okay, how are they selling their properties, right? Are they running, do they get a property and then do they try to sell it the same day they got under contract to the two buyers that they had from 3 years ago, right? Huge mistake, right? And so again, if you asked any of your listeners, hey, would you like to sell a property $20,000 less than you could have gotten? I'm sure the majority would say no, right?
Yeah.
Well, then why'd you do it, right? There's a root issue, which we're going to cover here in a minute, right?
I'm glad to hear you say that because I can't recall somebody, at least recently, that has spoken about the root cause. It's so true, man. When you know something and you don't do it, you got to go a few layers deep. What's that root cause? And so I'm glad that you're kind of going down this road because it's so easy for us to say, hey, consistency and do this and do that. You know, and people are like, they kind of tune out because they know that, but they're not doing it. Why aren't they doing it? You got to go a few layers deep and really identify that root cause, right?
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, by the way, hopefully on this show, let's give people 3 actionable tips that they can take.
Yep.
Right. We're going to take this root cause and we're going to blast it away. And the other thing I want to let you know is as I go over this, the last one's cash flow and accounting. You're like, where'd all my money go? Right. You know, like I'm out of money. And then all of a sudden you look on your credit card statements, right? And there's 4 services from some random sites that you never use, right? Random software or, you know, some website or lead source. And you're like, I've never done a deal from this. I haven't even looked at this. I haven't even tried this, right? And then all of a sudden, at the end of the year, you're trying to get all your receipts in order and your financial world is in chaos, right? Again, that's the symptom, not the root, because if you asked anybody, hey, do you want your financial world to be in chaos? Everybody would say no, I hope.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, perfect, man. So what are you seeing, man? Let's start to kind of deep dive here on the root cause. In your experience, Todd, and working with the people that you work with and in your experience in your business, is there a prevailing root cause that kind of infects most investors, or does it just vary across the board? I mean, because I want to start to kind of get real practical here and give people three action items, like you said.
Well, the first thing is that you have to be really mindful of your time. Right? Really, really, really mindful of your time. So there comes a point where you're like, okay, I need to break out of hustler mode, right? Yeah. And there has to be this decision where you make the commitment. Say, you know what? I don't want to be a one-man show. And so if you're watching this, or a one-woman show, if you're watching this, and this is, by the way, don't feel bad. 95% of the people who are listening to this are in this situation, right? Where they send out the marketing at the last minute, right? And all of a sudden they're talking to sellers, and they're out there meeting with buyers, and they're running to the title company, and they're running around like a chicken with their head cut off.
Yeah.
And you can't even think straight, right? You just can't run a business that way. And I remember being in this situation where I was in bed next to my wife. I was a one man operator. I was making some money, and I looked over at my wife and I said, I don't want to go to work today. The ironic thing was I owned my own business, Alex.
Yeah, i.e. it owned you, right?
It owned me, right? Now, what happens, okay, is, and I'm going to go back to what I'm seeing, because I've got a really good look now, right? Remember I talk about my superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Is I have zero tolerance for BS. So I'm working with someone, I dig and I dig and I dig and I dig and I dig, and I find out like, hey, mail, direct mail is not working anymore, or I haven't made any money in 60 days. I can't scale. I can't do this. And by the way, it's not like direct mail hasn't gotten harder, right? It's not like wholesaling hasn't gotten more competitive. It has.
Yeah.
There are people making money, and a lot of it. So most of the time, I see things slipping through the cracks. That's what I see, right? So I see, okay, well, you haven't done a deal in 60 days. Like, I sent out marketing. Okay, well, let me ask you, when you're talking to your sellers, what's going on? Are you spending time? Are you following up? Well, no, if someone's not really, really motivated, I just get off the phone as fast as humanly possible because I got too many other things going on.
Yeah.
Right? So the first thing I see is a lack of a qualified sales and follow-up process.
So important.
Right? And you're like, Todd, I know this, right? I invented a term back in 2012 or 13. It was called no lead left behind.
And you know that so many people have ran and taken that, because to this day I still hear that.
Yes, I should have trademarked it, but whatever, right?
Yeah, I got you.
Right. I invented that term, no lead left behind. Well, the funny thing was is that when I started using that, I had a team behind me. I had a team behind me, because if you took a look into my business when I was a one-man show, man, I was spraying leads all over the place, right? Yeah. I mean, they were slipping through the cracks left and right. And the market was maybe a little bit more forgiving then, right?
Right. That's the thing, man. This business covers up a lot of mistakes, man. It makes people that don't have their stuff dialed in look really, really good. But that's going to change soon. So keep going.
Well, if you're in these tough markets, forget it, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're in like a more challenging, if you're in the quote unquote easier market, you want this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, do you want to have a 40% profit margin, or do you want to have a 60% if you're in one of these easy, you know, easier markets, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're in a tougher market, a 30-35% profit margin, 40% your goal. Right. So the root issue is they are missing out on stuff, right? Because they're not building properly, right? And so you're like, okay, well, What's the chicken and the egg, right? Because all of these things we know, the consistency and the acquisition, the follow-up and the disposition and selling properly.
Yeah.
But it's this nasty, nasty, nasty cycle. So I'm going to give you the action step here in a second. But just know that one thing always leads to another. It's a chain effect. There's never like one thing that just affects this one area of your business.
Yeah.
Because you waited out to the last second to get your marketing out, you probably maybe mailed too many postcards or too little, right? I used to be guilty of that. Right. And now you can't keep up with the leads because you're trying to make up for 2 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
Now they slip through the cracks. Now you don't convert. And now you don't want to mail again because your last mailing campaign didn't convert.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like whatever you're seeing right now is not a result of what happened yesterday. It's a result of what you did 3 months and 6 months and a year ago.
Nailed it. That's what people need to understand. I'm so glad you said that. The efforts that you are putting in today are going to have an impact 30, 60, 90 days, up to 6 months, and even beyond down the road. So many people are in this business and they put forth effort today and they expect, we're not in a business where we sell trinkets, right? Where a transaction happens and a sale occurs and boom, we get paid. Like the efforts that you put in today are going to pay off 2, 3, 4 months down the road. That's why, kind of circling back to the top of the conversation, the consistency is so important. You can never stop.
Yeah. So here's the actionable tip. Okay. The actionable tip is, number one, if this is resonating with you, okay, if you are like, you know what, like I want what Alex and Todd are talking about. It's not like this, an employee is going to pop into your world and say, I'd like to run your business so that you could work less and make more money, right? It's not like that person's going to pop into your world, right? You have to now make a commitment to now be a person who is now going to build a team around you, right? And it's not going to happen tomorrow, right? But you say, this is a process and this is where I'm going, right? It may take me 60 days, 6 months, a year, or two, or three, but I'm not going to have anxiety about this. I'm not going to run around like a chicken with my head cut off. But number one, I'm going to make the commitment, right? So one of the things I'm in is Dan Sullivan's Strategic Coach 10X. And one of the things they talk about, which I love, is like there are no impossible goals, right? Just impossible deadlines. Mm-hmm. So one of the worst things that you could do is look on Facebook and see what other people are doing. And this person's got, you know, 10 acquisition managers and making $1 billion a month. It's like, you have no idea if what other people are doing in their business. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what their net profit is. You have no idea if they're telling the truth. So the only thing that you can do is focus on yourself, right? So number one is make the commitment. Number two, you've got to make that move before you think you're ready.
Go a little further. Because that, I think most of us find ourselves in that position, right? So the ones that have figured it out have kept going, but dive deep for the people that, because I think the majority of people listening to this right now can resonate and relate to what you just said, but it doesn't really register for them to actually take action. So go a little deeper.
Okay. So the first thing is that you got to start building confidence in taking action before you're ready. So here's what happens. We go through these phases where we take action before we're ready. So anyone who did a wholesale deal, right, has done one, or a flip, or whatever it was, there was some point where you took action where you did it before you were ready.
Yeah.
Right? And you did that, and you got more confidence, and now probably wholesaling or flipping, whatever else you do, is not scary to you, right? It's not scary to you, right? But somewhere along the line, you didn't want to go through that pain again, that pain of that uncertainty and that scariness. Like, what if I hire somebody and they don't convert the leads, or something slips through the cracks, or they become my competition, or they see what a crap show my business really is. Like all of these fears, right? And so you don't hire, right? Or what if I go bankrupt? I mean, that's a you know, I run out of money. So all of these are fears. So my first hire, I've told the story a couple times, but I'm not sure your audience has heard it. I had a small office in a really bad part of San Diego. It was during the recession. I negotiated killer rent, $275 a month, small space. There was a homeless guy in the back who always used to drink and throw up almost every single day. You used to hear him. And so it was like, you know, I wasn't ready, right? And I got someone to come in and believe in me. I'm like, I'm going to train you. I'm going to bring you leads. I'm not going to pay you any base salary, but you know what? Like, let's do this. What I've got is energy and the desire. And I had only wholesaled like one or two deals before, by the way.
What year was this, just for perspective?
Well, so you know, to be fair, I had done like lots of lease options. I had bought a couple properties like with partners, you know, and done JV. And so I had wholesaled a lot of lease options. And so, you know, when I say like wholesaling by traditional.
Sure. Got it.
Right? So this was like 2011, maybe 2011, 2010. And I hadn't really done any kind of direct mail at any kind of scale, So I knew though that I couldn't return the phone calls myself. Like, you know, cause I'd done a little bit. I'm like, I don't want to do this, right? This is not fun for me.
I feel your pain. Yeah, I get it.
Right. And by the way, I think that's the other part about this, right? You're like, I don't want to make phone calls. Good. Either do I. You're not a bad person, right?
Spot on, right?
So I hired Brian, and Brian, this guy, he was a worker. Like, he was really, really, really consistent. And I knew, he's like, man, I'll make whatever kind of phone calls you want to make. Just teach me. I'm going to pour into you. And he sat down on this table, which was a picnic table that I had from my garage. And so I opened it up, and literally there was a thing of barbecue sauce on there.
Are you kidding me?
And Brian looked at me. I was like, hey, man. But it was interesting because I had this excitement and enthusiasm. Yeah. And I was leading. I'm like, oh man, don't worry about it. I'm like, nothing's stopping. And I grabbed a paper towel and I scrubbed it, you know, as fast as I could. I'm like, go. Let's. And so the mail, you know, the mail went out, and we worked the leads. And you know, 2 or 3 weeks went by, and you know, I think I had like $5,000 out in marketing, which for me at the time was a lot of money, right? I mean, I wasn't doing deals. The recession just hit. I remember I just got a loan modification on one of the properties that I had, and you know, I was scared just like everybody else, but I was like, I've got to move. And as soon as I started moving, right, and pouring into this guy, the fear disappeared.
I love that.
Right. Absolutely. As soon as you start to take action, the fear disappeared. Right. We got a hot lead like week three. We went out there, we locked it up, 37 grand. And we were like, yes. Right. And I knew right then and there, right, that things were a shift, right?
Yeah.
It shifted.
That's right.
And it was awesome. I mean, look, there were some bumps along the way, and it was scary. And
there always are. Months,
yeah, cash flow was tight, but I did it before I was ready. So, you know, I want to share with your audience that if you're like, hey, I'm not ready, I need X, Y, Z in the bank. Look, man, I wasn't doing that great at the time, right? Yeah. I just had to give somebody a vision. It's not like I told them I was like, you know, had $500,000 in the bank at the time.
Yeah.
So let me say one more thing, right? So one actionable piece of, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll let you.
No. Go ahead. Cause I want to follow up with a quick question because I hear a common objection, but I want you to finish your thoughts. Go ahead.
Yeah. So then, you know, a couple months later, I had one of my friends who hired somebody, and he was a flipper, and he's like, hey, you know, I get my deals from this, acquisition manager before the term acquisition manager even existed. And he's like, he just calls agents to get deals off market. I'm like, that sounds like a great idea, right? And so all of a sudden, I knew someone in my network. I was spreading the word. I just started my podcast at the time, right? Our momentum was going. I was going about lease options, and all of a sudden, this guy came to me, and I said, "Hey, man," I said, "why don't you come and work with us, right? And you'll work this one channel. You completely dominate it. You'll own it. Just calling agents." This is before I'd never done a deal trying to get a wholesale deal and then wholesaling it, right? With agents before, ever. But I heard it. I had this excitement, enthusiasm, right? And a little more confidence because I did it the last time.
Yep.
And I got him to work 100% commission, right? 3 weeks later, boom! First deal, right? It was like $18,000. His second one was $47,000.
Nice. Right?
And so it was... you know, moving now, all of a sudden I was off the phone and now I could work in marketing. I was looking at things. I was seeing things in Technicolor now because now the pressure was off. Right. And now the savings started to build, cash flow started coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember I got my assistant. Now she was talking to all the buyers and my mind started to open up, Alex. Right. I got out of that hustle and that grind, and then quickly, I'm telling you, in very short order, within I want to say like 8 months, I became like the largest wholesaler in California. You know, like instantly, boom, 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 and I was so dominant because I was just out. And then, you know, like a year later, I was mailing like 200,000 postcards a month.
So you and I have a very good mutual friend, Chris Chico, and I remember probably I want to say this was 3, maybe 4 years ago. He's like, yeah, there's this guy out of San Diego, Todd Toback, that's mailing like 150, 200,000 pieces a month. And I was probably sending, I don't know, 3 to 5,000 pieces a month. And I'm like, I could not wrap my head around how somebody could have an operation to handle that much volume. I want to kind of take a few steps back. You seem like the type of person that you, it's the ready, fire, aim type of guy, you know? And so I can relate to you there. The fear that you had before you started to hire, because one of the objections, and this was the question I was going to ask you, that people, you know, the objection I get is, Alex, I don't have the money to hire, right? Like I don't, I'm not, my deal flow is so inconsistent that the money I make takes care of my family. I put a little bit back into marketing. And I find that there's a lot of people that can't get off that hamster wheel, make enough to hire somebody. So mm-hmm. I want to get your answer there. And then kind of a two-part question. When sometimes we make up these stories in our head, right? And it's all usually around fear. And what I find is 9 out of 10 times, Todd, you tell me if you can relate or if you agree, 9 times out of 10, when I commit, I take action and I move forward, that was just a BS story in my head that never ended up even happening. I'm curious if before you hired, that was what you experienced, right? I'm curious some of the fear, some of the thoughts you had, if those manifested themselves once you actually took action, or were they just BS stories in your mind?
Total BS stories. So, you know, let me share with you. It's really, really, really interesting. I look back because look, turnover, this is a whole nother issue, but turnover is real, by the way, with salespeople. So, you know, like it's not, you know, you're not going to hire somebody, everything's going to be perfect. By the way, sometimes it works out, right? Like always. But here's the beauty of this. So I had one of my coaches go back and I was complaining about turnover. And he was like, okay, well, out of how many people have you hired? How many have not been a positive ROI? And I'm like, oh, we've probably hired around 30 sales reps. And out of that, only like 2 have not produced revenue.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome, right? And I'm like, he's like, Todd, first of all, like, shut up, you know?
Yeah, let that sink in.
He's like, why don't you try opening up a real business, you know, like a mortgage company and see what kind of turnover you have, right? Yeah. You know, and by the way, by real business, I mean that wholesaling is awesome, right? I mean, it's got its issues, right? But it's a really, really neat business. It's not that mature. If you think this is competitive, try other industries, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of these fears don't come true. A lot of them. And what I find, though, is that when you actually commit and go all the way, you prevent those fears from coming true. Ironically, man, I'm going to, and you may already know this, or maybe I'm going to blow some people's minds here.
Bring it.
Sometimes the very thing that we avoid because of fear actually attracts what we're actually fearing.
Absolutely.
Right? So absolutely. You're like, I don't want to hire someone because I don't have the cash flow, right? Brother, let me explain something to you. Right now, you're sending out 5,000 postcards a week and you're not getting back to them, right? Fast enough, or following up fast enough, right? I would be petrified of that right now.
Yeah, right? Plus you put it down the toilet.
Right, but like pretend like your spouse is next to you and you're at the dinner table, right? And your wife now fully understands your business, like every single detail. Right? Every single detail, right? And now you're complaining about the market or whatever it is. And now she sees these leads going in the toilet. And you're complaining to her about the business, yeah. Right? What does she say?
You don't have your stuff dialed in. You don't have anybody.
You don't have your stuff dialed in, right? Would you be embarrassed of that, yeah. Right? And so now if we change the narrative to, look, I'm a leader. Right? I'm going to take my business, not as a hobby, but I've got to take this as a serious business. And mm-hmm. I'm spending money and I have to make sure that these are followed up with. And if I'm going to get off this hamster wheel, right? Like, think about this, is that you're probably in this hamster wheel. Why? Do you think you're going to outwork your way out of this? Like, you know, maybe you've been in this a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, right? Like you look on some of these wholesaling groups and you kind of see some of the guys in the same position, like mm-hmm. for years and years and years and years. You're like, well, what's happened here? You can't out-hustle your way out of hustling, really, right? There's got to be some one piece of behavior change, and that is you got to take the fear, you got to grab it by the you-know-what, right? Yep. You got to take a risk and then break out, mm-hmm. right? And so, okay, Todd, I can't afford to hire someone. So let me say I'm sensitive to that, right? So this is where you have to get resourceful and you don't need resources, right? So that first hire, Brian, 100% commission, no base salary, period. right? I did that. I'm not telling you to do that. Check your local audiences, lawyers, and all that other stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I can tell you what, you could probably talk to your attorney, get away with it for at least 90 days, right? Or give a $2,000 a month base to somebody, $6,000 over 3 months. Now, here's what I can tell you. Your maximum exposure here. I can tell you that if someone doesn't lock up a deal in my organization within 45 days, there's a problem, a massive problem.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to know within 2 weeks if that person's going to be successful. 2 weeks, right? Are they showing up? Are they making calls? Are they making offers? Are they following up? That's it, right? Yeah. So if they're doing that, if they're taking coaching, right, I'm going to know within 2 weeks. So my maximum exposure, even if I gave them some kind of base salary of $2,000-$3,000 a month, my maximum exposure is $1,500.
Yeah, dude, I can't tell you how glad I am that you answered it that way, because I think when I talk to people and I share similar advice, I realize that their perspective and they're operating from a mindset where it's $30,000 a year or $25,000 a year or $50,000 a year. And no, you're not committing to an entire year's salary up front. You know, your exposure is 30, 60, 90 days max. Like you said, I've always said within 30 days, you're going to know. You took it a step further within a couple of weeks. And it's true. In pretty short order, you're going to know if you got the right person or not. No doubt.
Okay. So Alex, how many people have you hired?
Throughout the years?
Oh man.
No, like acquisition guys. Acquisition guys.
Probably 9 or 10.
Okay, so out of those, yeah. So out of those, 9 or 10, right? Yep. Did you know the ones who didn't make it, were there red flags going up all over the place the first few weeks?
My biggest mistakes was that I was trying to make it work and I kept them longer than I should have, but that's a whole other conversation.
That's a whole other conversation. Right. Yeah. But I think that most of the people that think they're going to be married to this person, right? Now, one of the things I teach, by the way, and so let me go back to this. There's a process to hiring people, right? And taking their time. And believe me, we could save this for the second episode, a little cliffhanger, right? It's not about all these like Colby tests, disc tests, you know, like, you know, oh, I'm going to put out this test and the person who gets the perfect score is my ideal rep. No, all that is complete garbage, right? I've got a formula now that will pretty much guarantee success, right?
As a bold statement, man.
It's a bold statement, right? Now, I'm not saying someone's going to be with you forever, right? But I'm talking about getting a positive ROI.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the longer someone has been with you, right, the better. Believe me, you can keep someone for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Man, you are golden, right? Mm-hmm. But like worst case scenario, let's say you follow what I'm telling you. You know, you keep someone from a year, they can net you. They could be netting you $300,000-$400,000 a year. One person netting.
You're one hire away from a completely different business that you've never experienced.
Yes. So we'll keep that maybe for the next episode if we have time. Okay. Some of the stuff that we use to actually hire, and it's simpler than you think. You know, that's calling Liz. The other thing right now is that if you're a one man show, I guarantee you that your database is so full of money right now.
Oh.
Right? So we hired this guy. So let me tell you two hires. So we hired this guy, Sterling, really, really nice guy, worked with us. And he came on with me and he's calling these dead leads. And I'm like, right now I go, there's $200,000 in these dead leads right now. And he's like, no way. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, right now I'm proclaiming this. I am telling you this. And he's like, how come the old guys didn't close them? I go, because it's always a fresh perspective. I go, there's money in here. I promise you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we start working the leads. He's there. I hear it. He's got an appointment with the lady. And she doesn't sound that motivated. She doesn't. Because it was funny, like, these were just sitting here. No one was touching these leads, right? Nobody.
But they just weren't being followed up with at all.
Like, they were, like, in the deadest of the dead pile.
Okay.
Right? You know, and so he's like, well, this lady, a tenant moved out. She's going to meet with a realtor. You know, she's shopping it around, yada, 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 yada. And I'm like, do you have rapport? I was like, look, you just started, right? Let's get out there, get your feet wet, go out there. Long story short, it was like $186,000 deal.
What?
$186,000. Now, you're like, Todd, how'd you get to point A to point B? He went out there once. Something else was going on that she wasn't saying, right? And a lot of sellers do that, right? Like 60% of sellers are going to keep their cards closer to their chest, right?
That's right.
And the only way that you're going to know that, right? Believe me, if we knew that, someone would have closed that deal. But because now we had a staff and someone else to deal with it and get on the phone, something magic happened, right? By the way, if that was someone from the Philippines, they would not have closed that deal, right?
Oh, man, yeah.
You know, they would not have closed that deal. Nothing bad. I'm not telling people not to hire someone from the Philippines. I'm just saying he was there, made it work. And that was, you know, believe me. So how this, that was like his like fifth, sixth week, right? You know, he closed a couple smaller deals before then. He was with me for a year, right? But he netted our company, netted me, you know, probably him personally, probably $400,000 to $500,000.
Huge.
I had somebody else that we brought on. We brought on remote, and this hire actually was turned out not so great, right? And we lost her after 90 days. Okay, ran the numbers the other day, right? She netted us $160,000
on a bad hire.
On a bad hire.
Let that sink in. That's incredible. Let me ask you a question, Todd. Did you have, as you started to build your organization, because it sounds like, you know, going back a handful of years, you had a pretty big team. Did you have follow-up systems in place, or were you kind of building those as they went along? Because I've heard two different schools of thought, you know, make sure you have your follow-up systems in place and dialed in before you hire. And then I've heard that if you wait for the stars to align, just hire then and just kind of figure it out as you go along. For somebody listening that says, man, you know, I don't really have a follow-up system in place. I am the follow-up system. What's your advice as far as hiring versus having that in place?
So I'm like a huge, like, and again, I've dug into everybody, like their businesses, right? The people who are like sitting times on Podio and Schmodio and Modio, you know, it's like, they're trying to build out this like, oh, on third day, we send a text. And the fourth day, we have a voice blast. And the seventh day, we do this. It's like, those people aren't making any more money. They're not making any more money, right? So here's my recommendation. Set your core, have your core values for company and what you stand for and who you want to attract.
Foundational.
Foundation. You want to set core expectations on what you expect from your people in terms of follow-up. Core expectations, right? Mm-hmm. Lead comes in, no matter if you're going to voicemail or going live, you've got to talk to the person on the day they come in. If you don't get a hold of them or you miss their call, you call them three times the first day, text message, leave a voicemail. Second day, call them twice, text message, voicemail. Last day, you call, send a text, send a voicemail, right? That's our follow-up system for new leads, right? Period. Everything else, if they're hot or warm, you label them hot or warm, right? And then you always have a follow-up system, a next task and a next commitment, right? Mm-hmm. So this is part of that closing the sale, where you get a commitment for people for the next step in the sales process.
Always.
And you make a date and you set that date. Right. And that's our follow-up system, because I'm not going to follow, like, there's no automation that can have me have a real rapport with a seller for 10 days from now after she says she's got to talk to her brother in Texas when she's in California.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's more about the expectations that you set with people. Mm-hmm. If you take 48 hours and you lock yourself in a coffee shop, you can write out all those expectations and quote out automation for your people. Right. If there's stuff that you want to build out and get developers on, fine. You can do that, but I wouldn't wait for that.
Yeah, just don't let that hold you up from actually following up, because I love the fact that you just simplified it and you don't have to, because so many people get wrapped up into that game of, you know, trying to create all these automated follow-up sequences. And in the meantime, they're not really following up, right? They're just using that as an excuse to kick the can down the road. So
completely, a while ago I was using HiRISE, which is like the simplest CRM in the world. Right. And a lot of times we got cute, right? My salespeople loved it. They were in there all the time. Nothing was slipping through the cracks, setting tasks. It was great. It's so simple. Right. And then all of a sudden, my very, very, very good friend, love him to death, Joe McCall, found Podio. Okay. And this kid, and he's a, you know, he's a technician. He loves it. Right. Joe single-handedly spread Podio to the real estate investing community. Right.
He did. This was back 2013 or so, more or less, I remember.
Yeah, and it complicated a lot of businesses. So I'm not saying it's bad. It's got, you know, but the CRM is for the salespeople. It's not for the business owner.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to make sure that they're spending time in there. So long story short, they should be hiring now. Right. They should be hiring now. There's no follow-up systems that are going to save them, especially because you got to make sure someone picks up the darn phone and calls people.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me, I'm going to end. So guys, just so you know, Todd and I, there's a lot of content that a lot of really, really valuable content that Todd wants to share with us. And so what we decided to do was a two-part podcast episode series. Todd, let me toss one last question at you before we put a loop on this particular one. And then we're going to get into the second one.
Let me just share this one thing, by the way.
Please do.
The one thing that I promised you actionable tips, right? So the one thing that you can do right now, if you're scared too, again, it's not like you hire an acquisition manager and you have to give them everything, right? You can have a rope and you can let go of the rope slowly. So you can bring somebody on. You don't have to give them all your new leads, right? You can give them all of the old leads that you have in your database and stir them up and see if this person can make 60 calls a day. And if they can make 60 calls a day, guess what? They're going to find maybe one or two people a day who are even remotely interested in selling.
You're talking right? Before you actually even hire them, just as a test.
Well, we've tried that a couple of times. That's so-so. Okay. But I'm saying if you hire them. But I'm saying you could let them in your database the first week and see how they're doing, right? And then gradually get them out of that, right? And that'll tell you a lot. And they could pull money out of the database. So you could do that, or you could hire them just to deal with agents, right? Mm-hmm. Which is not going to cost you any money whatsoever upfront, right? So those are my two actionable steps. You don't have to have $1 million to get started.
Yeah, beautiful. And to piggyback on one last point, everybody has money sitting in their CRM. I don't care how experienced you are, how new you are. There's money in your CRM if you know how to work these leads. So 100%, man. You've kind of indirectly answered this, but I want to get crystal clear for people. Somebody that hasn't built a team yet, who should their first hire be? Should it be an assistant? Should it be a lead manager? What for the typical average wholesaler?
That's a really, really, really tough question to ask. I can tell you this right now, that if you have leads slipping through the cracks right now, right, hiring an acquisition specialist is not a horrible thing, right? It's not a horrible thing. If you are, though I had one of our clients who was a killer meeting with sellers. I mean, this guy was so good and he didn't want to let that go. Right. But he was dealing a lot with disposition, which, by the way, you can outsource that so easy. A lot of people totally overcomplicate disposition. But if you are a slayer at sales and you feel like you got a pretty good grasp, I think your first hire should be an admin. Okay. Right. Okay. Hire that admin because they can free up probably, 20 hours a week for you.
Easily.
Right. So, that might be your first hire. The second thing is, by the way, the jury is out for me on a lead manager. I think a lot of people
really
overcomplicate their businesses. I think a lot of money is lost with lead managers. I think a lot of money is lost with lead managers, right? So we've experimented with it. We used them. We haven't used them. But I found my really, really best salespeople over time actually like to handle all the leads coming in.
Interesting. Wow. That's a different perspective. Okay. I was kind of surprised to hear you say that, but yeah. Okay. Very cool. By the way, so we're going to wrap up part one here. Todd, I want to make sure not to tease people, but I definitely want to hear your thoughts on dispositions. You kind of teased this there with, saying that people overcomplicate dispositions. So aside from the hiring formula and we're going to get into that in the part two, I definitely want you to touch on dispositions in the next episode. So guys, make sure you tune in to the second part. Todd, in the meantime, how do people connect with you if they want to find out more about, what you have going on? They just want to any services that you might offer. Where's the best place to reach out and connect?
Sure. So I've got actually a gift for you guys. It's called the Next Level Wholesale Business Assessment, right? So if you actually go here and take this, it's going to score you in the four core areas of your business: the marketing, the sales, the disposition, and the cash flow and accounting, right? So go to nextlevelwholesaling.com and they can download that. And I'm telling you, it's a real eye opener. It's a real eye opener. Every time I take it, I'm like, whoa, I got a tweak. Nextlevelwholesaling.com.
Very cool, buddy. Very cool. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to round two here. So talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.